With your hands lifted up, say, say it up.
The God has healed. God is great and greatly to be praised, yeah. He picked me up and turned me all around. So when I think of how good he's been for me in my life,
come on, y'all, let's do this bridge real quick. Tell them I got. Because you might will make me too late. God has been so good to me. He loosed my shackles and set me free. And for that, say, I'll pray. Say it again. Say, I will. All the praise. Do we have any witnesses in here that know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to practice with everything that's in you? Come on, you are going to do it. Say, I'll praise. Say, yes, I'll praise. Say, I'll praise. Ooh, yeah. Now what we talking about in here for worship? Uh-huh. Come on, it's faith. We just come to lift up the name of. Come on, put your hands together right there. Come on. Let's try to sing. Say, I'll pray. Say, Jesus. Say, I'll pray. Say, Jesus. No matter what's going on, no matter the situation, I got to praise His name.
what's going on? Y'all ready for this? Tech on the Talk Radio is on the air. That's right. We are on the air broadcasting live. You heard me broadcasting live, as always, from where? The historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. That's right. We're broadcasting from the birthplace of gospel music. And as always, it's your boy, your host, the one and the only Dr. Dana L. King in the house with you tonight. We got a great show for you. I'm excited about it tonight. Look here, I love this. Why your worship needs to be louder. Folks said, don't take all that. Why your worship needs to be louder. That's our topic of conversation for tonight, man. So y'all might as well come on, get ready, get ready, get ready. It is going to be awesome. So y'all come on in, come on in, get comfortable, but don't get too comfortable. Look, get comfortable to get ready. Get comfortable to be uncomfortable. I like that. Get comfortable to be uncomfortable. Get ready. Get ready, as Bishop T.D. Jakes like to say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready to be uncomfortable. But I love it. 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 But man, we got a great, great show for you tonight. Let me give you the rundown. How you can be a part of tonight's broadcast. If you are listening, already listening on the line, all you got to do is push one. Pushing one will get you to my producer, the best producer in the land, the one, the only, LaTanya Michelle King, taking all of your calls, emails, texts, letters, complaints. All of that. She's taking all that over there on the other side. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375. That is the call-in number, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. If you want to email the show, you can email the show. It's the TTLO show at ttlomedia.net. It is the TTLO show at ttlomedia.net. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. You can tweet the show. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. How do you do that? That's two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can tweet the show. One more time for the Holy Ghost. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can tweet the show. If you want to follow us on the gram, that's right. If you want to follow us on IG, you can do it as well. Follow us on Instagram at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can follow us on Instagram at TTLO Radio. Two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can follow us on the gram. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. And then the live streams are up and running right now. That's right. The live streams are up and running. You can see us live right now. The live simulcasts are up and running on both Facebook and YouTube. Facebook.com is the same site. facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Again, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. You can find us there. And then on YouTube, you can find us there. YouTube, you can find us there. Just do a simple search for the Taking the Limits Off Radio Show. That's right. Do a simple search for the Taking the Limits Off Radio Show. You can find us there as well. Looking forward to seeing you guys that way on the YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button when you get there. Let us know where you're looking, where you're watching from on the Taking the Limits Off Radio YouTube channel. Appreciate you much that way. Don't forget, too, we are an iHeartRadio partner, so you can always find us on the iHeartRadio app. All you have to do is do a simple search for the Taking the Limits Off Media Group, the TTLO Media Group, on the iHeartRadio app. Not only will you find the TTLO Radio Show, but you'll also find Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. That's right. Healthy Soul Talk is back and better than before. Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Right now, she is working on the Relationship Violence series. So this entire month is dedicated to dealing with, this month is Domestic Violence Awareness Month as well. So she's dealing with domestic violence, man. She started off with two amazing shows. Last week's was called Relationship Violence Myths and Misconceptions. And then this past yesterday was When Love Turns Fatal, Threats and Physical Abuse. When Love Turns Fatal, Threats and Physical Abuse. She always has a great show. It's going to be even better next week. She'll close it out next week. When she comes back with a brand new show It is entitled, Oh, Domestic Violence Awareness, Accountability and Change. Domestic Violence Awareness, Accountability and Change. That's next week's conversation. So tune in every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. You can catch her show live right here on the TTLO Media Group Network. Also, don't forget about my brother, the good pastor, Harold D. Washington. That's right, the good pastor, Harold D. Washington from the Faith Works and Vision Church. You can always catch them all the time, somewhere around 1230, 1245. But you can catch their amazing praise and worship service on Sundays. But we start our weeks off with what? With the birthplace of gospel music. That's right. You can catch the live simulcast from the birthplace of gospel music right here on the TTLO Media Group. Join Pastor, Senior Pastor Daryl in person and the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church family every Sunday at 11 o'clock. We take you back and we take you forward, right? Some old school and new school. We try to do it all in one, and we try to do it all within the 90 minutes, even though I went a little over. But we try to do it all in 90 minutes. But you can catch us every Sunday at 11 a.m. Don't forget, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you can download a podcast, you can find us there. I think that's all I had. Oh, man, I'll do the play thing in a little while. Just remind me. There's so much stuff, man, that is going on all around. There is just so much craziness going on. I'm trying to think of how I would preface this. But I feel. I feel like this city is in a weird place.
With DirecTV Stream?
Yeah, I don't know why I need to hear about DirecTV Stream. But I feel like this city is in a weird place. There are – the shootings is one thing. The violence is one thing. I was at school today, and we were in the middle of teaching class, and we heard about 6 or 7 shots ring out. And – we, you know, unfortunately, we're on the third floor, so we're not as concerned, even though we are concerned, but we're not as concerned about, you know, the things going on the outside of the building. However, this morning we heard about somewhere after 10 o'clock, we heard about six to seven gunshots. And in the process, we never stopped. We were doing some individual works with students. So the classroom was quiet. So when the shots rang out, all the kids that heard it turned around and looked. And we didn't say anything. And the kids in the classroom, mind you, we're talking about fifth graders, literally turned around and said, "Y'all gonna act like y'all didn't hear that?" These are sixth graders, I'm sorry. "Y'all gonna act like y'all didn't hear that?" That's what one of the kids. Like, y'all really finna act like y'all didn't just hear that. So now, you know, I'm on my phone. I'm connected to the city's Chicago's ShotSpot app, and also the community liaison apps as well. So of course now my stuff activates. I go to push the button. And you can hear the numerous phone calls coming in where the gunfire was literally on Chicago, on Kedzie and Huron, which is literally, what, a block away? Literally a block away. We heard the shots. And then we find out that it's, you know, it's also Chicago Avenue in Kedzie. That's where the car sped off to. So, there's this feeling of sadness. This is just me, and I'm not just saying stuff to be saying it. I just get this feeling of you ever get this feeling of emptiness? Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. It just feels like a feeling of emptiness that the term I would want to use would be hopelessness. If there is a feeling of what I would say, I would clarify or call it I would call it hopelessness, because it just feels like there's this air over our city where people no longer care or are concerned. We don't care. We don't care, or we have little to no concern about our neighbor. And that's an unfortunate way of thinking, but I believe it to be the case. I believe it to be the case. I wish it wasn't the case, but it feels like everybody is, you know, and yeah, there's this feeling where everybody just appears to be looking for the, you know, and I get it, looking out for self. Don't get me wrong. I get it. You're trying to look out for the people who are closest to you, but it just feels like everybody is just so self. What's the word I'm looking for? Self. Just everybody's just so concerned about themselves, and nobody is caring. The thing about caring for your neighbor seems to be gone. The thing about having some concern for your neighbor seems to be gone. Loving your neighbor, looking out for your neighbor. Am I my brother's keeper? That whole process, it all just seems to be gone by the wayside. I know it's Praise Break Friday. I don't mean to come with the doom and gloom, but it just has this air where we're just going about our daily lives, just waiting on the next incident, the next thing, the next negative information, the next negative news break, the next negative thing. And it seems so nonstop. And now, don't get me wrong, I am a 100% believer in any and all things that God does. But I also am I shouldn't say, but as in the same breath, I can see yesterday when we were coming into church, we were coming to the studio yesterday, we parked the cars, and you saw the young man walking past, had on like a yellow hoodie, black jeans, mm-hmm. red shoes. I noticed everything. so he walked past, and, you know, so I spoke. Because I always do, you know. So I spoke. I was like, hey, I said, what's up, man? And he was like, so, and it was just this look of, bro, I don't care if you live or die. Like, that's the look that I had, which caused me to pause. Because normally, you know, you take your time, get out the car. I don't wait because you know, you be like, go ahead or whatever. But I stopped. Mm-hmm. Cause he just had this look like he was on a mission, and I'm not judging, but it was just the air of, I don't care, and I'm ready if you ready. And it's sad that that's where we are, or at least that's the feeling of where we are, and I have so much hope that things will turn around, but my flesh tells me that we are in a dire place, that we're in a dire place. And I would hope that those of us who are believers would not allow the circumstances and trials that are going on to hinder our worship, to hinder our praise. I would hope that that we would continue to move even in faith, so that God would continue to get the glory, but also that people would have some hope, that we could be a beacon, a light, that we could do something, that was meaningful, so that, you know, I don't know, man, so we could do something that's more meaningful than just this constant day-to-day, ain't no sense in me doing this, or ain't no sense in me doing that, and just going through the motions. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe it's just me. Am I overthinking it?
If you're asking me.
Yeah.
if you're asking me, I think – You have a point. You do. Everyone right now is pretty much, I want to say, out for themselves. They're taking care of themselves. And then in a time of social media and everything else like that, where people are quick to tell you to mind your business and everything, or want to sing about it, you know, and everything else like that, you were concerned about your fellow, you know, your fellow man out here, and he, you know, he gave you that blog escape, like I'm good, like, you know, pretty much like, you know, get your goofy stuff on,
right,
and everything, like, you know, what you need to know about my well-being and everything else like that. I also started to think mostly that I mean, I've been saying it for a minute. Like, I don't know what has transpired with us as people today and everything else like that. I think sometimes we've gotten, I want to say, like, you know, withdrawn. Like, you know.
That could be it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to steal somebody else's words, but, you know, y'all depressed and everything. But then also at the same time, I'm thinking at the same time, when people take this this attitude about, like, you know, our own black people, like you know when they see an incident and it's like, you know, like, you know, what they doing? Shoot, it's all black people. They don't say all black people. They say it in an instance, like, you know, like they're not black at this moment, at this instant. It is us. And I think about it in the terms of, like, James Brown, when he had that concert and everybody jumped on stage, like, you know, how come you guys don't have any respect for yourselves and everything else like that? Like, you know, how come you don't want to paint yourself in a different light than what you, like, he's, you know, in that concert, he was up to, like, I know y'all can do better and everything else like that. Like, you know, don't take this moment for granted. Like, you know, paint yourself in a different light than the one that everybody else sees out there. Like, you know, for one moment, that breath air I felt about black people is when that little girl talked about, you know, when that shooting happened at the school, and she was up there like, you know, she was like, you know, she spoke well.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, she was just like, you know, like this doesn't stop here and everything. It's like our soul is missing and everything.
I'm trying to figure out, are we out here, you know, soulless. It does feel that way.
Soulless. Are we in here with a reprobate mind and everything else like that? Like, are we just that lost and everything else? And, like, you know, like, are we our own worst zombies and everything else like that?
Yeah, it does feel that way. It does feel, it does kind of feel like there is a, it does feel like, yeah, you're right. It has that zombie feel. Like, it's just bodies. Like, you're just walking past other bodies.
Because everybody's out here for themselves. They're, like, very, very soulless and everything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know, we ain't trying to give peace a chance. We ain't trying to be we are the world,
I mean,
and everything. We're not trying to do anything.
Here's where I'll go with this. So, and while all this stuff is happening, then I hear about some sort of almost hostage situation where SWAT was about to be called in around the corner from my mom's house. This was this afternoon. So I'm hearing all of that. And then I think about, you know, what I mentioned about the guys on the streets selling the drugs and stuff, the weed on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a kid, I remember, and I talked about this before, guys standing on the corner selling weed, you know, hollering $5, you know, $5, you know, because weed was $5 or whatever back in the day, or reefer, as they called it, back in the day. But now, it's just like the guys that are out there now are just, there's like no concern for who I might be in this car, no concern for, you know, whatever. Even back in the day when people are like, what are you talking about? Even back in the day when people started selling crack cocaine, all this stuff on the street, and you heard the dudes, rocks, park, blows, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would not yell that directly in your car. They was just yelling it out so you would know.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys are like coming up to every vehicle. Like, literally, if you pull up and your window was down, they like, hey, you, like, no. And it's like you're there is no care nor concern even for the children, right? You know where the school is over there, and all the riffraff down there on the corner of what is that? What's the side street over there where I park the car sometimes?
Oh,
Ohio. Yeah, and then you go further, and yeah, so you go further down Ohio, I think whatever the next street is. It's like it's just so much activity, and it's like we don't care. You know, people back in the day had respect for little kids. They got out of the way. They said, you know, we ain't gonna do this right here. You know, it's kind of like back in the day, like I think Pastor Ray used to talk about all the time, when the alcoholic or the drunk would walk past the church, they would hide the bottle, or they would take their hat off, even just walking past the church building. It seems like not only is there no respect for mankind, there's no respect for or even reverence for God anymore. There's no respect or reverence for God anymore. Pat made a comment. She says people have become desensitized to a degree because of the prevalence of violence, poverty, et cetera. Some of it looks like self-preservation, yeah, and a lack of concern for others. Some of it comes from years of seeing no solutions no matter what you do or say, no help from those in position to help, and no regard from them. It's a terrible cycle.
I will agree.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That's exactly it.
Like, you know,
it's the hamster wheel.
You mention it a lot. You always mention, like, you know, for me, like, you always mention about what's, you know, going on the west side and everything else like
mm-hmm.
that. And because, you know, you had been in more predominantly better areas and everything else like that. So I just be like, I'm like, so what's your problem? Like, you know, I had become desensitized.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I'm like, well, I'm like, what's your problem? Like, I've been there, done that, you know, got all the t-shirts and everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you feel very strongly about what you feel. And I'm
mm-hmm.
looking like, and... You know, when you're ready to do something, come on. Like, you know, I'm like everybody's out here waiting for a hero. Not to say you're going to be a hero.
I need a hero.
Everybody's out here waiting for someone to take the reins and everything. Because, I've seen it. Like, you know, when it gets too rough, when somebody gets too rough, like, you know, you could be the Paul J. Adams, like, you know, not on these corners and everything else like that, to the point where you get threatened so much that you have to have your house built, or you could be a pastor and, you know, like I said, and get your house built backwards and everything else like that. So are you going to become, I'm not asking you, but like somebody out here has to take the pros and the cons, whether or not they're going to take the reins and everything else like that. Because yeah, we out here, I've done the city of Chicago's West Side. I'm like, I am West Side, and I don't say it in a negative way and everything else like that, but I'm surviving the West Side.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, when you mention it so much and everything, I'll be looking like, I hear you go. I feel like you, like, you know, like no, seriously. I
no,
do.
I'm
I
laughing.
Really...
Felicia said anybody answering the phone.
She's on the line.
I'm sorry, Felicia.
We'll answer it.
You, Felicia, you good.
Okay. Go. But like, you know,
go ahead, finish your comment.
I know how you feel and everything else like that, but it's just, like, you know, if you feel so strongly, help us help ourselves.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're doing enough just to survive, you know, in this world. Like, you know, you're doing just enough. You have to worry about, if you have children, you have to worry about your kids and everything else like that. You know, getting them from a bus stop, making sure, like, you know, that they don't end up a victim and everything.
Right.
Like, you know, you're praying and everything else like that. Like, to make sure, like, hey, God, hey, from Roosevelt to Central. Hey, or Central to Harrison. I want to get us to Quincy, you know, Quincy and Lockwood.
When I'm Felicia, you will be that short in less than 10 seconds. You have some noise going on, so I'll put you back on mute.
Oh,
no, Felicia, not you.
Oh, okay.
When I'm parking the car at the school in the morning and the parents are dropping off, I always pay attention to the fact that from the curb to the sidewalk, from the curb to the front door of the school is nowhere, especially if you're going through the front doors or if you're going through the cafeteria doors. It's literally a nowhere walk. But there are those parents, and I understand why, because I probably would do the same thing. There are some parents who drop their kids off. As soon as the kid get out the car, they speed off. So they're on their way to work or they're doing whatever they're doing. But then I watch these other parents who their kid gets out the car, even though their teacher's outside, security guard's outside, they don't leave until that child disappears behind the school door.
Right.
And I said to myself, that's two things. It's one out of concern, but I believe the other one is out of fear. Because I want to make sure when I saw him, he went in the building. Mm-hmm. Now, where my baby at when I come to pick him up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's out of fear. And that is so sad. Yeah, you want to walk your kids to school and be able to say, okay, you know, get them to the gate and then walk off. But it's like, no, they literally sit there because, you know, we're trying to park.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, would you pull off? And it's like, oh, I get it now. That's why you ain't pulling off.
No, and they're honking. You can stop all of that.
Ain't nobody even blow no more, though. Right. Nobody's impatient,
mm-hmm.
because it's like I'm waiting for my child, whether my child is in kindergarten class or my child is an eighth grader. I ain't pulling off until he or she gets behind y'all big old metal doors.
And when they pull, like, you know, and while they doing that short distance walk,
yeah.
Let me check this back seat because I don't want to have to come back up here to drop off nothing. I mean, like, these parents are concerned, but at the
yeah.
Nobody has the weight of the world, but when you have the weight of the world of, like, you know, how am I going to pay rent? How am
mm-hmm.
I?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to give my kids the best life? Like, how can I be better to my kid or even better? Like, you know, because, you know, some parents have had great lives.
Mm-hmm.
How can I give my kid just as much as, you know, as I've gotten and everything else like that? That weighs
yeah.
on people and everything. So you can't be, I know it's off-putting to look at somebody like, you know, like he probably was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
He probably was thinking about, like, you know, like, you know, what I got to do next.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, like, this is a different scenario. He has a 3-year-old daughter and everything.
Right.
How can I make these Pampers happen?
Right.
A lot of things are rolling around in our mindset. He may be thinking, like, you know, as soon as I, like, you know, if Buddy ain't got my $50, it's going to be some blink, blink
mm-hmm.
and everything. But no, like, you know, we don't know and everything. But I think would have been the greatest thing is if you would have stopped him and be up there like, you know, like, man, I see you. Say something.
I don't think that would. Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't in the best position to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, in the best position to do that. Felicia, oh, she hung up. I'm sorry.
We're sorry.
Yeah, because we wouldn't shut up. So.
We're sorry again. In the room.
Yeah. So I am. I am of the mindset that yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with. Pat's comment was right on the head. Felicia, you can call back if you're able to. Pat's comment was right on the head. There is a level of we're waiting for people upstairs or with the perceived ability to fix some stuff. It hung up on you. No, I was putting you in a different room, Felicia. It didn't hang up on you. I'm sorry. I was putting you in the green room until it was ready to bring you on, so that whatever noise was going on wasn't going across the air.
Yeah, we got green room.
Yeah. I wanted to just share that. That was just something that was on my mind. I noticed it yesterday, and then again, it was something I noticed even at the school today. Okay, Felicia is back. Felicia, you're on the air. What's going on? Happy Friday!
Happy Friday! Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We all can hear you.
Turn it up a little bit.
Oh, good. Am I loud? I'm trying
you
out
loud.
A new thing.
No, you good?
I am.
You trying out a new thing?
Oh, okay.
What you got?
No, remember when I said that comment yesterday about my tenant with the domestic
yes.
violence?
Yes.
And so while Tanya was saying, you know, I use the same terms that they do. Man,
mm-hmm.
back in the day, mm-hmm. and, you know, I stay in shock. Even my daughter did some, and I was like, I know you was raised by somebody else because something is completely wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have video cameras in my building. And so,
mm-hmm.
of course, I'm going to say something like, hey, you know, I grew up in a house like that. You need help or this and this and the other. You know what she told me?
Uh-oh.
You need to mind your own business.
Okay, then. Okay,
First of all, this is the thing. I don't care about what's going on in your apartment,
mm-hmm.
but you in a public hallway, boo.
And I don't want it to spill over into mine.
and I'm not, we're not in the same, I don't live there.
Right.
You're disturbing my other tenants.
Right. But, okay. Gotcha.
So it was like, but it was like her approach, like, I'm looking like for some humility here. She talking to me like, this is what I do. And so I was like, okay. And then she's 33 years old. So I get, now it's not even a thing about, you know, sometimes people say, well, that generation and that generation. My sister is 32. She doesn't act like that. So what is that? And it's like, you know, they say, well, say something. I said something. She was like, you need to stay out of my business. That people argue. No, that's not normal. When you WWF and Ike and Tina every night, and you have a three-year-old, that's not proper. You know, I can go there.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
But I'm just like in amazement, because I don't show her, but I'd be kind of like in shock. Like, you know, they talking to you like this is normal. And you know they ain't normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I have a young lady that's one of my fifth graders. She clearly there's something domestic going on in her house, and so when she's at school, that you know some of the kids are so sleepy, the first chance they get to sleep is at the school, because they up all night at home with whatever's going on in their households. Whether you got some illegal activity going on, or you got some fighting going on, or it's just too many doggone people in the house and you just can't sleep. So the first chance you feel like you're going to go to sleep is, well, guess what? When I come to school and whichever class is first, I'm putting my head down in that class. I don't care about, and that's clearly what's taking place. And it's just, and you know, you can only do so much, because if it's a parent struggling with six or seven children, right, in a house, the last thing you want to do is call DCFS and have them come out there and act.
Hold on, this is my thing. See, again, you know, I give people grace because I've been a single parent.
Yeah.
See, my problem with my understanding about a lot of folk is they got too much help. She has three children. Her mother keeps two of them. So the problem is you got too much help and you got a lot of time. Because if you was raising your other kids, you wouldn't have time to be Ike and Tina, because you got to worry about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I ain't judging you, but I think a lot of people in this they got too much time, they got too much help. Mama is always there, daddy is always there, somebody always helping them. That's why it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working since I was 15 years old. Mama ain't give me nothing. My daughter went clean off because I cut her cell phone off when she 20 years old. My mama looked at me like I was crazy when I asked her about me a cell phone. Who? When? Where? Oh, okay. Pay phone right down there for you. Put all the quarters in you can.
Stop it.
So, you know, you say that like, okay, I don't get it. Like, I know this. I was raised this way. Where, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's my soapbox. I'll let y'all go.
I appreciate you. Thank you for listening, Felicia. Appreciate you.
Oh, no problem.
Y'all know normally, and we gonna do what we do as always. I just thought we would take a moment to pause in that particular vein just to talk about that. Thank you all for your comments. Thank you, Felicia. Thank you, Pat, for your comments. Whoever else might be listening, go ahead and chime in. Feel free if you want to be on the air and call in. The phone number is on your screen, 323-870-4375. Just push 1 when you call in, 323-870-4375. That's the call-in number. Feel free to call in and let us know. You want to add to that part of the conversation, feel free to do that. Yeah, you know, I don't know. And Tanya, you said something. You said this a couple of weeks back when I was talking about this. You were like, you know, what are you going to do? Do something. And that has been on my mind. It's just one of those things where you got to have the right foundation and structure before you set out to do something.
I mean, I get it. I mean, I say build it.
Well, but you first have to have, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of people, but it does take it takes the right amount of the right people. It doesn't take a whole lot of people, but it needs the right people. And I'm not going to say that's lacking, because I haven't asked anybody yet. But it is a necessary endeavor, that we get something ready and prepared, because it's not going to get better waiting on it to get better. And it's not going to get better hoping. I'm not saying prayer doesn't work. Please, 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 ma'am, sir, preacher, doctor, apostle, bishop, whoever, designate, all that. I'm not saying that prayer doesn't work. I'm saying that when we get off our knees and get done praying, there is some work that has to come behind the faith. And we're going to have to work our faith. We're going to have to exercise our faith. We're going to have to put some work behind those beliefs. And it's past time that we put some work behind those beliefs, because otherwise our city that we live in, our country that we live in, is going to continue to dwindle down to this self-involved, we're just ingratiated into just self. I like that word, ingratiated. But it's all about ourselves. We're just about flattering ourselves. We're just about making ourselves valuable to ourselves. Normally, when you think about that, when you think about the term, even the term ingratiate, it literally means to put yourself in good into someone else's graces, but we're doing it into ourselves. We're just trying to, it's all about making ourselves happy. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I'm saying that that's all we're doing, though. Nobody no longer cares about, that's just my feeling. That's just my feeling. That's just my feeling. Because I even think back to in the midst of this pandemic, and all the monies that went out, all the illegal monies that went out, people who got 20 and 30 million, and I'm sorry, 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 thousand dollars worth of money that they should not have gotten from the government. And then I still think about when we drive past, getting onto the Dan Ryan over there by Canal Port, all of those tents underneath that area. You know, what could any of those people have done with $30,000? Now, some might go get high and kill themselves on overdose. Okay, everybody out there, everybody that's homeless ain't a crackhead. Everybody that's homeless is not a crackhead. Everybody that's homeless is not an alcoholic. They just made some poor decisions or had some bad breaks. But what could they do with $25,000, $30,000? You'd be surprised at how many homeless people get up and go to work every day. You'd be surprised. So I wouldn't. I'm gonna move on because I could stay here a while, but I'm gonna move on. Felicia says absolutely faith without work is nothing. Yeah, Bible says dead. Bible says it is dead. What else? There was something else that I wanted to.
We said we were gonna talk about.
Who?
The Jelani Day thing.
Yeah.
It's Praise Break Friday, so we're not going to do that. Maybe. Maybe not.
You all know the Jelani Day story. I'll give you this from some bros from the new Epsilon chapter of the Alabama A&M University.
If you can just scoot over a little bit.
Oh, what happened? Oh, for the gram.
For the gram.
We on Instagram, so I had to move over a little bit, y'all, because that camera is a little different for Instagram. Here's the deal. The historically black fraternity to which Jelani Day belonged. Jelani Day was a brother of the Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated. Members of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity and the new Epsilon chapter at Alabama A&M University, historically black college where they attended, launched an online petition to amplify their demands and say they won't rest till the person responsible for killing Jelani is prosecuted and convicted. As of Thursday afternoon, the petition had garnered more than 26,000 signatures out of its goal of 35,000. The petition was updated on Thursday to say that the brothers of the new Epsilon chapter emailed a formal letter to state and federal officials in Illinois to formally request that the officials take over that their officials take over the investigation to the killing of our dear brother, Jelani Day. Here is the deal, and I want to give you this just real quick. I don't want to run through this. So there were two autopsies done. There was a version of an autopsy, not sure if it was legitimate or not, that was floating around Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And it was talking about the condition of Jelani's body when they fought, when they found him. So here is, and then the tox screen, I guess, just came back. The toxicology report was released about 20 hours ago, supposedly. LaSalle County Coroner Rich Pollock said the officer received the results Wednesday, but he declined to comment on the report's content due to the ongoing investigation. Also, that just, you know. The lab received tissue samples taken from the liver, kidney, and brain. Day's body was found September 4th in the Illinois River near Peru. The 25-year-old Illinois State University grad student had been reported missing August 25th, and his vehicle was located August 26th. In a wooded area in Peru. The lab noted positive findings for caffeine, Calt-9 and Delta-9 carboxy THC. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Calt-9 is a compound formed after the chemical nicotine enters the body. In the report, Delta-9 carboxy THC is identified as a byproduct produced in the body after cannabis is consumed.
Okay, whatever.
A cause for the death of Day has not been released by law enforcement. In response to the delay, I want to get down to this a little bit. I want to go back to the report, if we can. It was a gruesome report. Matter of fact, I'm not going to even read that. I just can't.
Nobody said read it. Yeah. I had asked that question, though. I had not heard that one. This is my first time hearing about the toxicology.
It just came out. It was just released yesterday.
Because I did say, I wonder if,
mm-hmm.
It gives no excuse, I wonder if he had got a hold to some bad weed. Because the synthetic kind, you know, depends on what synthetic brand you get, will have you out there way out there then you could further go in on the weed that you that's supposed to be legal.
Mm-hmm.
So that I did ask that, like, you know, I'm not trying to say they're trying to cover up anything, but it was a great chance that you did visit a cannabis dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
What did they have that they weren't supposed to have that was actually bad?
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, you know, I still definitely don't read that, because that autopsy report does seem like there's something else,
mm-hmm.
especially with it being in Peru, which is a sundown town, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if my son know to run past it, but do it at a respectable level, then, like, you know, then, mm-hmm. you know, the word is out.
Mm-hmm. The mom said this about the report that came out. She was like, this is not a case for organ harvesting, because that's the speculation by some on social media and other news and some not so great news outlets. She says this is not a case of organ harvesting. However, my son did not put himself in a river. Carmen Bolden said in a statement, my son was murdered, and my goal and purpose are to find out what happened and hold those responsible accountable. His siblings released a statement Tuesday clarifying that there were body parts missing from the second autopsy, and they still don't have the answers as to why. Hmm. Yeah. Again, if we're going to talk about some discrepancies, if Jelani Day was a 25-year-old blonde-haired white kid from the state, Illinois State University, that had gone missing, it would be a federal case already. God forbid he would be a 25-year-old ISU white girl with blonde hair and blue eyes.
I thought they did escalate it to a federal case.
The federal people have not taken this over yet.
Okay.
They have not taken the case over.
And Alicia asked, but he went to a dispensary to get it. Isn't that safer? Sometimes it's not.
Every dispensary is not the same. Even if he got it from a dispensary, it still could have been something, you know, there are different levels, and it could have been something that just didn't work chemically with, I mean, if we're speculating, that could chemically unbalance your brain. Chemically, some of the whatever they use to grow it. But yeah, I'm not knocking. I'm simply saying that there's a lack of it just seems to be a lack of movement from authorities in this, because I'm looking at this now. That's why a day ago. They're having protests right now to call on the FBI to get involved with the investigation, like they're involved with the investigation with the girl that was found, and the guy still missing. He in the woods somewhere. You know, you good?
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah. So he in the woods somewhere hiding out. But again, you know, when it comes to us, there's always a lack of care, because at the end of the day, you know, y'all can get mad if you want to, it's just another Negro. And it's a male, you know, educated one. So, of course, we want him gone. We can keep the goofies around. But with these educated ones that could, you know, come around and actually do something, if they come up missing, okay, well, that's okay. We don't care about that. They'll be all right. So, anyway. Look, it is praise. Oh, what you got?
Felicia's other comment.
What Felicia's other comment? So Felicia's other comment says what?
While William Shatner in space, help the people. now he's literally the oldest.
So my mama, can I share something with y'all? My mama had an interesting white man crush. White celebrity white man crush.
I can understand that.
She did. She had a big time white man celebrity crush. Like, I don't know if some of y'all that's around my age and younger, do y'all got any white man celebrity crushes right now? Because my mama had the most white man celebrity crush. Like, my mama loved, like, literally loved Sean Connery. She thought Sean Connery was everything, right? My mama loved William Shatner as Captain James Tiberius Kirk.
That was really his middle name?
Tiberius James T. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Tiberius. Yes.
Not strong Tyrone.
Right. Tiberius. That's a name for you right there. She,
I think as a kid I did.
She loved James T. Kirk. I mean, that was her. She and my mom was a Trekkie.
Oh, no. What's his name?
Who?
Who played Batman in the TV show?
Adam West?
Yeah, that was me.
You liked Adam West?
Yeah.
Okay. You're too young to like Adam West.
But I mean, that's what I used to watch.
That don't fit the question. But okay. She also loved John Travolta. She thought John Travolta was everything, to the point where I'm going to the movies with her to see Staying Alive and Saturday Night Fever. Yeah. And then she tell me when we walking downtown, don't do the walk. Do the walk. Walk like John Travolta. Yeah, and I was doing
That's why you can't like Everybody Hates Chris, because that mimics your life. That's why you can't get into that show.
These might be facts. Oh, God. I started watching The Wonder Years the other day, and I was like, oh, this is too familiar. I turned it off.
That's why you can't do it.
But yeah, but anyway, I said that to say, I brought this up for something. Why'd I bring this up?
We were talking about William Shatner.
Oh, thank you. William Shatner in space. Thank you. William Shatner. So, of course, y'all saw this. Another, you know, how many millions of dollars did it cost for these people to go into space? But they flew up there. It was in space for all the 8 minutes. And he got to experience weightlessness. And he had an emotional moment. His breakdown. When he got back on the ground, he was talking about how beautiful the Earth is. But when you break the line of gravity, and he says when you're going up in the air, you see all this blue, all this wonderful color. He said, but once you break that barrier of space, it's just black. He says, it's nothing out there. It's just nothing. No, he couldn't see a star. He said, it was just blackness. And then to turn around and look down at the earth from that thing, he was like, it was just like, wow. So I'm sure it was a, you know, hey, look, if I was a billionaire, I'd probably pay for me a ride too. I probably would, just so I could, you know, do it. You know, it's more about science fiction and, you know, all that good stuff for me. But I saw old man William. I saw Captain Kirk. I'm going to go a little further. I saw T.J. Hooker. Oh, you old if you know T.J. Hooker. I saw T.J. Hooker up there. T.J. Hooker up there in space and all that. The time I see somebody watching from your page. If that's somebody, look, y'all better say something. They be watching. Ms. Roberts say she be watching, but she won't say nothing.
They don't be wanting you to holler out their name.
Robert! I holler name all day. Mm-hmm. So she be all right. But anyway, I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about, you know, if it's the Jeff Bezos, that's Jeff Bezos' money. And I don't know.
Jeff this time.
No, that was his people. That was his ship.
That was his ship?
Yes.
I thought
the blue whatever.
I thought it was Bronson.
No, this was the blue. The blue whatever is,
oh, okay.
Is Jeff's ship.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Felicia said they could have went to the dispensary and had the same experience for less than. They could have been floating weightless. And Felicia says her crush is Adam Levine. The dude from the, I just know him from The Voice. I can't think of the name of the group he was with.
Is that Maroon 5?
Is that Maroon 5? That's Adam Levine, Maroon 5?
Or somebody. Oh, I forget. It's somebody else. I don't know.
It may be Adam Levine. It might be Maroon 5. But
you know, I'm the B96 fan.
that would be you. That would be you. That would be you. So anyway, look, y'all, we're going to take a quick. Yes, you said Maroon 5. Oh, good guess, man. Good guess. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into our conversation for tonight. And it's going to be a good one. Why your worship needs to be louder, huh? Why your worship needs to be louder. That's going to be our topic of conversation for tonight. In the meantime, come on, Eric, Kirk, and the True Worship. Give us a little bit more of that. I'll praise him. Be right back, y'all.
When I think about how good God is, I stop praying. So many times God has made a way for me. That's why. Over and over, He keeps on blessing me. That's why. Me in my life.
through this bridge real quick. Tell them I got you, partner, what I'm after. The cute model made
me coming on back. Come on. God has been good to me. Huh? You know what I just thought about it? I need a record. A record. That's how you know you're old. I need a record that I can just talk on and the choir sing behind me. And then I throw a note out every now and then. The one or two notes I can actually do. Not that one.
Hit him with some hands. You don't want to hit him with some hands.
You know.
You might as well just be honest with yourself.
I'm good. You go, that's okay. You go, it's okay.
Just tell the people.
I didn't tell people nothing. Ain't nothing for me to tell the people.
I tell them myself.
What you finna tell? What you gonna tell? Tell the people what you got to say.
Sound a little rough.
Anyway, that's Eric Kirker, True Worship. I'll praise him. Eric Kirker, True Worship. Y'all know, go ahead and download that, man. Listen to that thing. Add that to your playlist. Add that to your playlist. It is a good song. So go ahead and add that to your playlist. Amen. All right, we got this good article. I didn't pad at all while I was on that break. Okay, it's got enough juice. We got this good article simply entitled, Your Worship, What Needs to Be Louder, Why Your Worship Needs to Be Louder. Why am I hearing?
My headphones.
Oh, that's you. Thank you. All right. Okay. I'm like, I ain't got that button pushed over here. No, you're all good. You can turn your mic on. I just muted you. You good. That way you can have it ready. But this is good. Why your worship? Why your worship needs to be louder. I'm excited about this one because I think it's gonna be good. The writer is a new author we'll use tonight. His name is J.A. Medders. He's the lead pastor of Redeemer Church in Tomball, Texas. He's pursuing his doctorate of divinity, his MDiv at Southern Seminary. He and Natalie, his wife, have two kids, Ivy and Oliver. Jeff is into caffeinated drinks, books, and the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Huh? Yeah, for the people who didn't know what that meant. But he is an author and worship leader. Why your worship needs to be louder. Why your worship needs to be louder. The writer says this. This is what Jeff says. Jeff says, one says, I love loud electric guitars in our worship music. It adds a lot. I love it. The other says, well, I love when I can just hear the voices raised. Now what? Is one better than the other? Of course not. One of the great things about attempting to be a biblical Christian is remembering that our opinions and preferences aren't better than anyone else's, ever. But far too often, we can pull muscles in our brains by thinking so highly of our thoughts. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned, Romans 12:3. Sober thinking as opposed to a sloshing and opinion oppressing tomfoolery. No matter what your opinion is concerning music volume, we are all in danger of cult-like behavior when we raise our dictates over other Christians. We can become church bullies. Our thoughts are not supreme. Our own personal view of how corporate singing should be done isn't a force to be reckoned with. Feel free to have an opinion and keep it as an opinion, expressed with humility, kindness, and grace. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So here we go. First thing says, worship style isn't supreme. Worship style isn't supreme. The writer says, God's word, God himself, reigns supreme over our thoughts, mouths, words, emotions, and opinions. Realistically, the Bible says very little about how New Testament church gatherings are to function. Realistically, it doesn't. Everything else is up to each local church and the elders that lead her. Our own styles, or what we like, isn't the style of our brothers and sisters all around the world. Bible Beltians are fond of making a mold for the rest of Christianity all around the world and for others in the same room. Our brothers and sisters in Iran mouth the words of many worship songs so they don't get killed. Are they wrong for not hearing each other sing or not cranking the bass? Or our family in Zimbabwe that dances, beats drums, and echoes through the town, are they wrong? When we elevate style over substance, we are in serious danger. When we think our way is supreme way, is the supreme way, we are more like father of lies than we realize. Now, this is to say that there are some styles, elements to consider. Style, to a degree, the writer says, doesn't matter for church singing. Singability is the big one. And twin jet engine in face space loud would be nuts. Too quiet would be annoying. There is a balance, and there are safe decibel levels that music should fall into. And sometimes a mix with too much bass or way too many highs is harsh. It's not loud. It's more painful to your soul. Stay with me, y'all, because I read this for a point. But the long and short of it is to pit one style against another is prideful nonsense. Let's talk about this thing loud, loud, loud. Your worship needs to be louder. Loud, L-O-U-D. I'm talking about loud meaning singing and music, not loud stuff that they smoking outside. Loud is the flavor of the Bible. I ain't gonna get no help now. Loud is the flavor of the Bible. Loud worship, loud praise is the flavor. It is the preference of the Bible. It's hard to ignore the language of the Bible when it comes to the environment and volume of worship. It is characteristically loud. Every definition you see of worship, every time you hear praise mentioned, it is characteristically loud. Loud singing, loud instruments, and loud shouts, for emphasis' sake. Yeah. Check this out. First Chronicles. Let me grab this real quick. In the King James and in the Message Bible. First Chronicles 15, 16th verse. First Chronicles, the 15th chapter and the 16th verse. It reads like this. I want to get this real quick. Come on. Work with me. All right. It says, this is the English Standard Version. It says, so all Israel, It says this: David also commanded the chief of the Levites to appoint their brothers as the singers who should do what? Play loudly on musical instruments, on harps and lyres and cymbals to raise sounds of joy. Let me make it plain. And David made him house. Made him houses in the city of David. Come on now. 15 and 16. This is what he says. 15, 16. And it says, First Chronicles chapter 15. Come on, Dana. Get it right now. Come on. First Chronicles chapter 15. First Chronicles. Thank you. Starting with the 15th chapter. Here we go. It says, and David made him house in the city of David, and David prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of the God but the Levites, for them the Lord hath chosen to carry the ark of God forever. Let me go down to 16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. So then if we go down to the next verse, 1 Chronicles 15 and 28, it says, ESV says, so all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with what? Shouting to the sound of the horn, trumpets and cymbals, and made music on harps and lyres. King James says, thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting and with sound on the cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals, making noise with psalteries and harps. Psalm 47 and 1 in the ESV says it like this. Come on. Psalm 47 and 1 in the ESV says it just like this. It says, clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Oh, my God. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to God with loud songs of joy. King James says like this, oh, clap your hands, huh? All ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Mm. Come on. We're talking about loud, why your worship needs to be loud. It's from a quiet folk who say it. Don't take all that. I don't feel comfortable. Psalm 150, one of my favorites, praising him. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud cymbals clashing. That's the ESV version. Can I get the KJV real quick and get some help with this one right here? Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Uh-huh. Then it says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Can I get down to this verse? Verse 5, praise him upon the loud cymbals and then praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. The writer says, the clashing sound in Hebrew is meant to conjure up, what's this? The sound of a battle cry. A loud blaring trumpet calling the troops to charge. He says, I think worship music is meant to do the same thing. Worship music, it is a battle cry. It is saying, I am prepared, Lord. Use me. Send me out, God. I'm on your battlefield. Use me right now. My body, my voice is an instrument of praise. He says, and the harmony of voices in Revelation is so loud that it sounds like a thunderstorm. It's still loud. And the harmony of voices in the book of Revelation is so loud. It sounds like a thunderstorm. It's still loud. You're concerned? I'm not talking about loud, reckless music playing. But I am talking about an excited, exuberant praise, exalting someone, exhorting, using some energy. I'm talking. I can't get no help. Y'all done got real quiet on me. I'm talking about lifting up your voices. Can we get Revelation 19. And 6, Revelation 19 and 6. Revelation 19 and 6 says this. I'm reading the ESV. Says, then I heard, watch this now, what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. ESV might have sugarcoated for you a little bit. Let me give it to you the way it was meant to be. Come on right here. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. It says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Woo, my God. This is the intent behind worship. It was never meant for us to just sit there and be entertained. It was never meant for us to think that, okay, well I let them sing, I'll just enjoy it. That was never the intent behind it. I am one. I just remember, and Tanya, you somewhat of a house head. You look outdated, but you somewhat of a house head. You somewhat of a house head. I'm just saying, you somewhat of a house head. You can't be a house head and you had to be like born before 75 to be a real house head.
That's a prerequisite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was 79 should do.
Yeah, but you weren't when house clubs were at their height,
right.
You couldn't get in.
I couldn't hate from outside of the club.
No.
I can't get in.
No.
No. But I think I know enough.
I'm not saying you know enough. I'm talking about you couldn't experience.
Okay. You're right.
From the club atmosphere.
You're right, because when I told you,
mm-hmm.
when I went to that, what was his name? Yeah, I know I like him. What's his name? Colonel Abrams concert.
Colonel Abrams.
I promise you, all of y'all was down there. I wasn't with you.
Lost their minds.
Though. Right. They lost their minds. And, like, I never saw the people that were down there, I didn't see them till the end when the club closed up. The concert closed up.
Yeah.
Because they were enthralled in that.
Yeah.
They were in... I told you that party reminded me of the Matrix party because don't nobody feet hurt because they were dancing.
Zion!
It literally reminded me of
that. That's what I've tried to get people to understand about worship music. I remember where I would let when I would go to those functions, those house parties. Not at somebody's house, but house parties is the difference. You would get there were those you had a bunch of different people at the house. You had your people who did a little bit of everything, but then you had what I like to call the speaker heads. So in the club were speakers that were about as y'all can't see it because the camera is zoomed in on me. How tall is this thing? 10 feet.
Eight feet.
10 feet wide, 8 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
That's about right. They had speakers that were literally about 8 feet tall and maybe about 4 feet wide. So literally you could stand in front of an entire speaker. People would, and then subwoofers that were the about 6 feet wide where you could stand on them if you chose to. There were people who would all night, they would get to the club early enough time. You know why? Because they wanted the spot in front of the speaker.
And that's where they was at.
They wanted to be in front of the speaker so that the bass of the speaker would permeate through their bodies. That's what they wanted. And then the music would then just take you somewhere. And it was a, I ain't saying Holy Ghost, but it was a spiritual moment in the midst of these parties. And then there were those of us, I wasn't a speaker head, I was a dancer. There were those of us who we had one spot. Once I get to the middle of the floor, when I got my spot, give me some room. Give me my personal space. That's all I need is my wingspan because I ain't going to move from right here. And then I'm going to do all I can while I can in this spot. What's Felicia?
You know it's Felicia because it got to be one clan.
Man, I wish I got a chance to go to the warehouse and the mansion place. I'm still thinking I should sue the property because I'm half deaf.
Leave it to Felicia. Leave it to Felicia.
So when I think about how I was with that, how I allowed that music to just take me to a place of you know just out of body experience almost. So now being saved and knowing what God has done, and then knowing the word of God, and then hearing people sing about the greatness and the goodness of God. Now it's like, now I'm listening to this music and the word, because we listened to the words. It wasn't just about the beat. It was the words to the house music. You know, when somebody put on that song, I'm not going to let, not going to let, let you, you get the best of, you felt that thing. You was like, hold on. Like I'm talking about you.
What they say when women want to speak through the song and everything. Okay.
I'm just saying.
I got you.
Because that's what it was. And you felt that thing. So now move that to the spiritual realm. Now when people are singing in church, you allow that. Sunday, when that girl, I wish I could, you know what? Let me see what I can do. When that girl, let me tell her name up.
Parral.
Thank you. Parral. I'm going to tear it up. When Parral was singing My Worship Is For Real, when she was singing that song, And I'm sitting there because I'm trying to, because I've been running around all day Sunday trying to make sure everything was ready for service, and then service starts, and then you know some stuff ain't quite where I think it's so I'm trying to focus. So she comes and literally sets the atmosphere for the word to go forward. That's your job as a worship leader, as a singer. It is to set the atmosphere for worship. Not just to sing your song, but to set the atmosphere for worship. So she gets up to sing this song, and I promise you on everything I love, that girl got up and she started that song off, and it went to a place, but then all of a sudden it elevated. It elevated. It went to a place and then it just elevated. Can I just give y'all a little bit? Can I just give y'all a little piece? Just a little piece. I promise it won't.
No matter what, you have a praise on your heart. I wanna sing this not to you but to God. Can y'all worship with me this morning?
Just gonna give y'all just a little bit of this. Let me. Matter of fact, I wanna do this real quick. Let me do this right here.
I said, you don't know my story.
Mm.
What I had to go through to get here, and you'll never understand my pain.
Mama.
So don't try to figure it out, because my worship, God knows my worship is for real. I've been through too much, not to worship him. I've been through too much.
Yes, God. All right, let me stop.
To worship him.
My.
Yeah,
I guess I could have shared the video with y'all, but I didn't. All right. That's what I'm talking about, though. Being in a place. Being in a place that you allow just the word of God musically to permeate your very soul and just take you right to the throne room of heaven. Ah, glory to God. That's all I'm talking about, y'all. That's it. Let me stop. Let me turn that down. You got to be able to do that. So watch. So let me get to the end. The writer says, but turn that down to turn it up. But turn that down to turn it up. Felicia, I saw your comment about Yahweh by Matthew Stevens and Talon Moore. Yeah. The writer says, here is what we all need to turn down. What we all need to turn down is our flesh. Our flesh. Turn down our flesh. The writer says, let's remember that worship is never about us. He says, you may not like that particular song, but if it is if it's solid lyrically and the church can worship God together, just zip it, shut it, and crucify your flesh. Worship, church, is not about you. Put your brothers and sisters above your self-interest unless you want a time of God-centered worship to be about little old you. Do nothing from selfish ambition. Come on, Bible. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Turn down all your complaining and crank up your worship. That's where we got to get out of our own way. That's why it's so important. I know you used to do it this way, and back in the day, the choir used to do this and all that, you know, but back in the day, the choir might have had 55 or 60 members. Back in the day, you might have had 3 or 4 different choirs. But guess what? Now you don't. You don't. And if we're honest, and I'm just talking about the church universally, some of our voices no longer have it to be in a position to do that. I mean, you still can't worship. That means you still can't try. But watch this. We have to watch this. Work within the skill that you still have. Can I use this illustration? Can Michael Jordan still dunk? He probably can. Should he be dunking? Probably not. Can Michael Jordan still back you up down low and turn around and shoot that fadeaway jumper all day, every day? Because that's where his skill set is now. Maximize where your skill set is now. Be the best at what you can do with what you have now. Stop trying to go back to 25 years ago when you could hit every note on the scale. I've been in the choir my whole life. Yes, you have. And at one point, you used to be a really good soprano, but now you are a full-fledged alto. Embrace it. Huh? I ain't going to get no help. Huh? I ain't going to get no help. You still up there. You up there doing all that, and knowing good well, you ought to be up there. You know, you should be right up in there. Huh? What? Huh? What? You putting up the disclaimer? Well, I'm just saying. You know you don't have it. But you refuse to sit down and then you criticize. Watch this. You criticize everything else that's being done. You won't get no help. Felicia says, right, if you don't use it, it may lose. If you don't use it, you may lose it. I used to say, now I sound like Barry White. Lord have mercy.
Okay.
Felicia, really?
Whatever.
You did not. Because I was going to do it, but you did not.
Oh, sorry.
You did not.
Great mask and Goliath.
You did not. deeper. I'm sorry. But that's what it is. That's what it is. The writer says this. He says, at the end of the service, if Christ is honored and proclaimed, whether it's just the piano or those electric guitars, it's that what? You should rejoice. You should rejoice. Worship service, that corporate worship, that congregational worship, it's about us coming together and rejoicing about our King. Our crucified but yet resurrected King. That's what we should be doing. And it should be doing it with our absolute best. It should be with our absolute best, not with what we what used to be our best 25 years ago. Because now you up to, now you singing, but you sound like you've been smoking cool Benson Hedges menthol for 25 years, and you trying to give us a note. Get somewhere and have a seat. Because you up there talking about Jesus on the main line when you should be up there talking about some practice, what you preach. That's what you ought to be singing because that's where your voice is. I think we our worship needs to be at a place where we just recognize that God is going to just take us to a place. And if you allow him and you get out of the way and just let him do what he does, let his spirit just take over. You'll have times like this.
Hey, our Father.
This right here was good for me.
Hey,
I could have gave the benediction and went home. Sorry, I just had to go get some more of that. I think that there is something that I and that's what I think I'm always trying to get people to. That's the part where I'm trying to just get people to see, even my most reserved people. I'm not trying to get you out of your comfort zone. It's not about me trying to get you out of your comfort zone. It's about, can you, for God's purpose, yeah, that's it. Thank you, Jesus. For God's purpose, can you give him more than what you're used to? Woo! That's good. Hallelujah, Jesus. For God's purpose, can you give him more than what you're comfortable with? Can you push yourself beyond what's comfortable for you? Can you push yourself beyond the norm? Can you push yourself beyond what you think you can take? Can you push yourself beyond what the world tells you is enough? Oh God, thank you. Can you push yourself? Can you push yourself? Can you push yourself beyond what your eyes have told you is enough? Because it's not for you, and it's not to please the people around you. But it's to show God that you're willing. Come on, Abraham and Isaac. It's to show God. It's to put that faith in action. It's to show God that I'm willing to go all the way. Huh. and risk it all. Oh, God, I'm willing to go all the way just so, God, that you know that I'm serious about this thing. Huh. Maybe you've never been in a place where you felt like everybody did this to you. Can you push yourself? Not for my sake, not for the pastor's sake, but can you push yourself to your perceived limit? Can you push yourself? Can you push yourself to your perceived limit? You know, when to the point where you move beyond instinct. They call that next level. The point where you move beyond your training for an athlete. It's when you move beyond your training. Here is the deal. Oh, God, thank you, Holy Ghost. Ooh, I love when God says, go here. For athletes, they train themselves to be able to play an entire game. Four quarters if it's football. Four quarters or periods if it's a basketball. Nine innings if it's baseball. But what happens, church, when they get to the end of the fourth quarter? Help me, Holy Ghost, now. Yeah, I feel all right. When they get to the fourth quarter and the score is still tied. The game is not over. I wish I had some help. Now what do you have to do? Because we have not trained to go beyond. Our mind said when the clock hits zero, it's time to go home. That's what our mind says. The rules tell us. The rules say game over. Official game is over with after 60 good minutes of football. The game is over. 60 minutes. The game is over. That's what the rules say. But then there's this caveat, unless it is tied. And if it is tied, then what happens? You go into overtime. Here is the deal. I practiced and I trained myself for four quarters. But the game ain't over. I wish I had some help. Now I got to push myself for the overtime period. And that's what I'm trying to get you all to understand. I know that you're used to coming and sitting and clapping a little dainty clap and doing all that kind of stuff. But is there an overtime play? Oh, glory to God. In the house. I can preach that. I'm gonna preach that right there. Is there an overtime praise? Does anybody have an overtime praise? Can I push myself beyond? God forbid, you know, in basketball, in football, they do two overtimes in regular season, and then it goes, and then if it ends in a tie, it ends in a tie. But do you know, Tanya, that in basketball and in baseball, there is no tie games. They going to go until somebody wins. In basketball, you could have two overtimes, three overtimes, four overtimes. You can, somebody, so you got to keep going. Can you worship beyond what you're comfortable with? Do I have any of them kind of worshipers here? Can you worship beyond what you're comfortable with? That's heavy, y'all. That's heavy. This was good. Thank y'all so much for hanging out with us tonight. Let me share. Thank you. I should have did that when I came back from the break, actually. Should have did that beforehand. So we'll remember that going forward. We are partnering with a friend of the show, Trina Page. She's an amazing, amazing, amazing playwright, author, writer, all of those good things. But we are partnering with her, if I can learn how to talk today. We are partnering with her to help her with this amazing project that she has coming up. And it's simply called Tamar. And we're about 30 days away. Watch this, you all. She literally has only 167 tickets from being completely sold out. If you've ever been to Freedom Baptist Church, Freedom Baptist Church is an amazing, amazing sanctuary. But she is literally 167 tickets away from being completely sold out. We want to help her get there. We're going to be there that night. It's going to be an amazing play. Let me give you this synopsis here of the play. It's simply, come on, work with me, computer. Thank you. It simply says this. It says, when you've been pushing uncomfortable memories out of your consciousness, failing to deal with them, they seem to explode when we least expect it. Tamar is a brilliant play, one that promises a powerful experience for audiences who will not only experience breathtaking performances, but will also be asked to confront one of the most heart-wrenching subjects, sexual abuse. This dramatic experience is even worse when it comes from people you know and trust. Will the young girl be able to recover from the scars left on her by her brother? Will she let this trauma define her fate? Come find answers to these questions with us Saturday, November 13th. Woo! I got, what's my man's name?
I don't know.
Chris Rock played it. Tippy Tied on the Tink. What's his name?
You Tongue Tied.
What's his name? What's
I don't know.
The name of the movie. What's the name of the movie?
Is that Fifth Element?
No. Oh God. Chris Rock, not Chris Tucker.
Oh. I don't know that movie.
Yes, you do.
I forgot it.
I can't even say the words. But anyway, on November the 13th, not the 13th, but November 13th, I believe it's 7 p.m., Freedom Baptist Church. It is going to be amazing. 4541 Harrison Street, Hillside, Illinois. It is tickets are first come, first seat you get. General seating. So go ahead and grab your tickets. We have paper tickets in hand, but you can also go to Eventbrite. You can go to Eventbrite and get your tickets to Tamar, the stage play. It's 7:30. That's what it is.
And I think, you know, if people go to Eventbrite, then they just say, like, you know, they got their tickets from, you know, because they heard from TTLO.
Oh, yeah. If you buy your tickets from Eventbrite.
There it is, Pooty Time.
Hootie Tang, because that's what I sounded like. Thank you. If you buy your
Thanks, Felicia.
Oh, God. If you buy your tickets from, let me see. Oh, they got people, different names in here of stuff when you buy your tickets. Okay.
Okay.
But I don't see us in here listed. But if you buy your tickets from Eventbrite. If you buy tickets from Eventbrite, just go there and click on the tickets. It doesn't say which one. I was going to say it should be us in here, but I don't see us listed as one of the people with the tickets, but it's okay. I thought we were going to be, though, but you can figure it out. But there are tickets in there. You can go in there and buy the tickets at $35. $3.77 is a fee plus a sale tax.
Right. So
you ain't got to worry about that with us.
Come through us.
You ain't got to worry about that with us. If you want to buy some tickets, we got a gaggle. We got a few. We got a handful, a couple dozen.
Yeah, we just got a handful.
Okay.
So definitely.
So come and get your tickets. We are going to be there. We'll get there early. We'll get there early enough so we can save a row. If you come and let us know, we'll save some TTLO seats next to us, and you can come hang out with us there. It is going to be an amazing play. November 13th, 7:30 is the time. Again, it's at Hillside.
And you can come on in and get your tickets there. Get your tickets there. By the time you get done buying them online, let me just do one ticket. Let me just give you the whole rundown. Yeah, $3.77 plus 50. So $39.35. So save yourself $4.35 and come and get them from us. That's what you can do.
Oh, yeah. Come and get it from us. We'll put your ticket at will call in the envelope. And
that's
then, and hey, you done saved the tax.
That's good. That's
good. Because I'm pretty sure you know how they did last time. You Chill We Grill came out selling the
ribs. Right, because her brother-in-law got them good ribs out there. And he might be having them on the side, so you might need that $4 for your small tip sampler. I'm just trying to help the people. Anyway, let's get ready to get out of here. She said, why are you talking so fast? Because I talk fast, Angela. I talk fast. That's what I do. But that's the play. Again, it's the play is called Tamar. It's going to be amazing. I saw her post something the other day because somebody said they thought the play Tamar had something to do with Tamar Braxton.
And for the people way in the back with the dunce cap.
What? They did. She had to put up a post because people thought the play was about Tamar Braxton.
Just for the people way, way in the back.
Freedom is across the street. It is down the street from Proviso West.
Yep.
Down the street. Literally about 3 minutes by car. If it's three.
Not even three.
Yeah. But it's right down the street from Proviso West. That is correct.
You might want to, afterwards, you might want to go bowling at the Hillside Bowling Alley and get some Ricketts chicken wings.
Really? We'll get you some chicken wings. Yeah. Exactly. But it's about Tamar. Y'all know Tamar is one of David's children. But it's so much more. We will have Tarina on the show before her play. We're going to talk about that, and maybe we'll use that time, and maybe we're leading up to it, to talk about this sexual abuse. Like I said, we always talk about it from the standpoint of the Catholic Church and what the Catholic Church has done to young boys and young girls. But we rarely talk about it from the Black Church perspective, because we've always kicked it under the rug. And the only reason it's not a more national story like the issue with the Catholic Church is because there is no central place where the Black Church's money is held. There is no central location. There is no bank. The Black Church does not have a Vatican behind it. If it did, trust me, people will be coming out of the woodwork, because I'm going to say this and then I'm going to close out. Just as many young boys and young girls that were molested in the Catholic Church, I don't believe that the number is any less in the Black Church. We just don't know about it because there is no money to get from a lawsuit. And our people told our people to not mention it. Don't talk about it. Well, we don't want to ruin the church, so we're going to let the pastor get away with it. We don't want to ruin the church, so we're going to let the deacon get away with it. But we'll talk about that. I'm going to save that. I'm going to save that for another show, and I'm going to probably get some, if we get some people in here to talk about that, and maybe we'll convene a little panel or something, and we'll get that done. But in the meantime, y'all, let's pray and go home. Father God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the time we've had on tonight. Lord God, we recognize that you are the, not just the, a great God, God, but you are the great God. And for that, we just want to say thank you. Now, God, we just want to thank you for every listener, every viewer, every watcher, God, whether it be the live show or the replay, God, touch their homes right now. Touch their businesses, God. Touch their finances, God. Touch their ministry, God. Touch their families, God. Even now, God. Touch them right now. God, we're asking that you would bring peace. God, I talked about it earlier today, God, about the depression that seems to be going around in our city right now, God, the discouraged people, God, the people that are walking around looking soulless right now, God. God, we know that if you can blow life
oh, glory to God. If you can blow your breath, your ruha, into a lifeless atom, a lifeless body, God, when you put your life in it, God, then you can blow your life, your same breath right now into this dead situation that's going on in our city right now, God. God, we're praying that you would move as always, God, as you do, God. Fill those broken people. Fill those broken spaces, God. Fill those broken places right now, God. We know you can do it. We trust you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to get out of here, God. We're going to get out of here. We got, yeah. That's right, Angela. That's right. We're going to get ready to get out of here. We appreciate y'all. We do. We love y'all so much. Thank you so much for sticking around on tonight. It was a great, great time. I appreciate y'all. I do. It was a great, 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 great time. I just want to give a little bit more of my friend, friend of the church, my sister, I'm gonna tell her name up again. Peral. Thank you. I was gonna call her Portland. Just tell her whole name up. Peral Harris, y'all. She closed us this, she sang before I preached last week, and it's just a blessing. She is a blessing to the kingdom of God. Come on, sing, Peral.
So I have to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. My worship is for real. I have to take the time and say hallelujah. Hallelujah. My worship is for real. Sometimes I have to lift my hands and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. My worship is for real. I can't look at myself, so I say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. My worship is for real. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My worship is for real. Oh, he's been so good. He's been so faithful. My worship is for real. Yes, that he's brought me through. He's brought me out. He's brought me over. My worship is for real. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
My worship is for real. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Through the night. And thank you, Jesus. In that time, and thank you, Jesus. I don't know what you're going through, but say thank you, Jesus. I don't know what you're going through. I dare you to say thank you, Jesus. Because he's been so good. He's been faithful. He's been a doctor. He's been a lawyer. He's proven himself over and over. I said he's proven himself. Hey, over and over. You're looking at a miracle. You're looking at a miracle. I said you're looking at a miracle. Hey, hey, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And as Lord, I love you. And as I give you honor, and I give you praise, because through it all, you've been right there. Hey, through it all, when no one cares, they walked away. They turned their back. Oh, but you've been right there. Oh, God. Because my words.
worship, it is for real. Yeah, yeah. My worship is for real. Somebody say hallelujah.
Can we just stay right there for a moment and
my God, hey!